Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, on this Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Tavshin Pei, is daf Ayin Chet, and we're holding at the two dots. So we continue with the Shiurim in the Mishnah. Mayim Kedei Lashuv Behem Et HaKilor. Now this is a bit confusing, because certainly the use of water for that particular mixing in order to be able to get yourself an eye salve is not exactly the most prominent use of water. I mean, so how did we make that the shear? Omar Abayas. So Abayas says, look, let's consider what's going on here in general, in the Mishnah. That normally what we say is that kol milta de shchicha velo shchicha, let's say you have a common usage, and then you have an uncommon usage, right? So the din over there is that we will always, ozer abon abasar shchicha lo kula. The common use is the amount that you would have to take out, even though that's a kula. So that you won't be chayav, let's say, till you take out a revius of a substance, even though, of course, it certainly would have, at times, a usage for less than that. Where you have something that was both of them are shchicha, then we always go according to the one that is shchiach enough to be a chumra, obviously, because if they're both shchicha, and by the way, we're going to see what this means is not that they're both equally shchiach, but they're both common usages. It doesn't have to be that we get the most effective thing that we're going to be using, but basically, they're the type of thing that it's common enough that somebody who sees this is what he's carrying will understand that it's being carried for that purpose, then that itself is enough to provide a chumra in the shear. But the problem is, I mean, let me give you an example. I'll give you an example for wine, okay? So wine, drinking wine is the most shchiach usage for wine. Using wine for mixing with some type of medication, I don't know who that is, but please mute yourself. Using it for some kind of medication is certainly not common, right? Now, okay, so what did we do? We gave the shear of Azara Bana Basar Shtiyato, the Shchicha, and we made a kula, even though we could have said that let's make a tiny bit of wine that I would use to mix for the kilor, for the eye ointment, but I didn't say that. When we talked about milk, okay, drinking milk is very common. Again, using milk to mix with some type of medication is not common. So what did we say the shear is? Kedei gmiya, which is the amount that you drink. Also a kula. When we were talking about honey, now over there, actually, its use for a refuah is also very common. Now, obviously not as common, perhaps, as using it for flavoring or drinking, but it's very common because there's nothing else that will do that job on those abrasions the way honey will. And it's still used today for that. And therefore, since we have two shchichas, achilat toshchicha, refuat toshchicha, so because of that, even though it's a chumra, the Rabbanan said, if you take out that little bit of honey that's good enough for the abrasion, you're also chayav. Okay, so now you get the idea, says Abaya. I don't understand how water fits in. Now, water doesn't seem to fit in at all. Because, I mean, obviously, the use of water for drinking, I mean, that's what water is for, you know? To say that I'll mix water with various medications. I would mix it with my eye medication, but I mix eye medication with milk too. I mix eye medication with wine too. So why in the world would we utilize specifically the usage of water and say that therefore, even if you take enough water out for an eye ointment, that's considered to be chayiv. Why is that? That's not a shchiach. That's not even in the realm of shchiach. It's not the same idea called shchiach. So my time as rabbanan about the refuah to the chumra. This seems to violate the understanding that we have of the whole idea here. So why shouldn't they have just said that the shear is a revi'it, which is the amount that you normally drink? I mean, that's what we said on the other liquids. Amar Abaya, look, we're talking over here about the galil. Now, in the Galil, people were very poor, and they did not utilize things as expensive as milk and wine to use as a base for medications. So because of that, it's extremely common, obviously nowhere near as common as drinking. I mean, that's absurd. But nonetheless, it is a common usage that water should be used for mixing medications. So because of that, it's my klal, as Bayer pointed out, common and common, we go with the common, not the more common, but the common that is more chomer. So that's what we do. And since in the Galil, there's no options for making medicine, accept the water. So over there, it's considered to be common. Rava says it's always common. Afilu tema b'shar mekomot, because you're absolutely right that theoretically you could make these eye medication utilizing milk and utilizing wine, but it's not a good idea to do so. Why? Because when you do that, you put that in your eye, it films over your eye. You cannot see very well. Nobody wants to use that. So because of that, if you could possibly have water, you'd like to use water. Because Shmuel pointed out, and remember, Shmuel was a famous doctor. You can use any liquid that you want to make this eye medication, and it will cure. The problem is, it will also make it difficult to see. Metala means a shadow. It'll shadow your eye. Levar mi maya, unless you use water, which is thin and is rapidly absorbed, and over there it will cure, and it doesn't have any of these side effects. So if you have a choice between a medication with a side effect and a medication without, obviously you'll choose the water, and therefore it has nothing to do with being in the Galil. That means that water is the common mixer for medication, and therefore, even though it's not as common as drinking, it's common. Then the Mishnah said, any other liquids? We're talking about a revius. Now, there's actually two things that the Braita wants to point out. There's two types of dam that we would actually view differently. So even though normally we would say any liquid, including blood, would be the same as would be a revius, but Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, there is a type of blood that is kidei lekho b'ayin achat, that you can use enough to apply just for one eye. So obviously, we're not talking about the normal usages. Sheken kochlin levirkit. And that's because if you've got some type of protrusion from the eye, then you can use a particular type of blood, mind you, dharma de tanagota vera. That is the wild hen, which is not really a hen, but which is a duchipas. Usually, they call that the hupu. They're very common, actually, in Israel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Dan, I can think of another blood. There's another blood, which is Kedei Lekobo Ayin Achat, and that would be applying it to a Yarud. So a Yarud, apparently, is some kind of cataract or some kind of white markings, and the Rashi brings a couple of possibilities. Umay Nihu, what kind of blood is that? Dama de Krushtina, and that would be bat blood, or could be also a mole. Remember that those are interrelated in terms of looks. Vesimanecha, remembering which type of blood to use for what type of eye problem, is gava le gava and bara le bara. Use the inside one for the inside and the outside one for the outside one. So in other words, the outside one is the name of the bara, the Tanagota Vara, and you use that for a protrusion. And the cataract is inside, and a mole is inside, or a bat grow is inside. And because of that, we call that, because it's often found in the attic, so we call that a simen for inside. Bamed var mamurim. Now, continues this Braisa very strangely. Bamed var mamurim bimotzi. This is dafka if you're taking something out into Rosh Hashanah. Avo b'matznia, if you put it away, then any little bit. Kol shehu chayav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, on the contrary. And this, of course, is Rabbi Shimon's idea. B'med dvarim amurim b'matznia. All of these smaller shiurim, according to Rabbi Shimon, as we saw in the Mishnah, the smaller shiurim are never applicable as a general rule. They are the minimum that would be applicable in the event that you were matzniya them. Remember, Rabbi Shimon's kiddush is that even if you're matzniya, there's also a set of minimums. And those are the minimums of the occasional usages, as opposed to the minimums of the standard usages. So the standard usage would be mechayev, people who standard will use it. But the minimum is really a minimum. And even if you yourself decide that you're putting aside something less, that will not be mechayev, you know, will be but la daitcha in terms of the melachas machshaves. So therefore, in this case, obviously, you would be only chayev in a revius if you were just being motzi, but the chachomim are made at the Rebbe Shimon that when it comes to taking out sewage, shofchim, l'rushos harabim, that then the shear is a revius. Now, let's go back over this parasha and try to figure it out. Omar, you said, if you're taking it out, but if you're being matznia it, then it would be any little bit. Does that make sense? What do you mean a matznia? A matznia is a motzi. Now, Rashi has a very unsatisfactory approach to the sugya. Tosfos, I think we should just use Tosfos' approach because it's much simpler, much clearer, and to understand what pushes Rashi into saying what he says, he takes the Lashon of the Gemara literally. Whereas Tosfos points out, I mean, the obvious problem is, what is that supposed to mean? Matznia always means, of course, someone who was matznia and subsequently was motzi. I mean, what kind of crazy question is that? What did you think? That for putting something in your medicine cabinet, you're chayef for hotzah? I mean, it's ridiculous. So obviously, matznia would mean somebody was motzi. So the Gemara's kasha, as asked, is absolutely silly. So you need to, like, really try to figure out what is troubling you over here. So Rashi has to build it on the fact that somehow or other we knew that the Mishnah was going on Libet Reb Shimon ben Elazar. What Tosfos explains is the Lashon is the problem over here. Because what we're saying is like this. Matznia lav motzi, why doesn't it say aval hamatznia b'chol shehu, which would have been the Lashon that we had used before. Bame dvarim amurim b'motzi, aval hamatznia, the guy who is matznia it, then it would be b'chol shehu, and that would be mashma, that the matznia, ha-matznia, would be the one who was the ha-motzi. And then it would be, obviously, that's the meaning, that's the clearest way to say it. But because you change the lashon, and this is, by the way we read it before, and why we were medayik, that only the matznia would be chayev, right? And that's fine. That's how we knew before that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Because the Mishnah insisted on using the word hamatznia, the guy who was matznia it, he and only he would be chayev if he was taking it out b'mashu. But here it says b'matznia. What do you mean b'matznia? B'matznia is not hamatznia, but rather if someone had been matznia. Now, if we already showed that the Mishnah is not going al libet Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and the Mishnah went out of its way to say not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, so then it doesn't make sense over here why we would say, there's nobody that would say, but if it was matznia, b'matznia, then you would be chayev. That was only Reb Shimon ben Elazar. But we already showed that the Mishnah was against Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Why would we take the brisa now to say stam that it's going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar? That doesn't make sense. That's how Tosfos understands it. Therefore, Tosfos understands also the teretz in the Gemara to be beautiful. The teretz that we're about to say, according to Tosfos, means that in this particular case, it is true that even though someone else was matznia it, nonetheless, when you take it out, you would be chayev. And it's not only true, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, everyone would agree. How could that be? Ah, we're talking about a case where there is a relationship that is mechayev us to take into consideration one person's snia for another person's hotzah. So what would that be? So imagine a situation like this. You've got a carpenter and a carpenter's apprentice. The carpenter has put aside certain screws that only he feels this is enough. This is something that he wants to use. So he was matznia it. The normal shear of screws, let's say, would be larger than that, or three screws, and he sets aside one screw. So now he tells the apprentice, will you please bring the things out from that room into Rosh HaSaramim? The apprentice, who does everything al das rabo, would therefore be mitchayev because to the rav, that was choshev. That's the point. So all we're trying to say over here, that there are situations where it would be possible to be mitchayev, even not according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, to be chayev someone who is motzi, al dat the hatzna'ah of somebody else. And therefore, the Gemara says what we're talking about over here is specifically a case, b'talmid, this doesn't mean a Torah Talmid, a Talmid of the carpenter, let's say, shomar la rabo, lechu faneli hamakom lasuda, take everything out of here into Jisarabim, I need to use this from Sheva Brochas for my kid. So he goes ahead And he takes out something which to the Rav was important. So there, everybody is made that he would be chayev. So if he takes out a dover, that's choshev l'kol, he's chayev aloy. If he takes out less than the shir, he's not. Unless, i'atznei rabbe, if the master had been the one that had been matzniyayet, then he would be mitchayev on the basis of the master's hatzna'ah. So what we're clarifying over here is that even though we don't paskin that the hatzna of one individual would work as a general rule for somebody else, it certainly could work for someone who would take seriously the fact that that individual was matzniyayet even though he wasn't. And that would be according to everyone. Omar Mar. Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Shimon b'motzi shofchim l'shus harabim sheshi'unam b'revi'it. Now the question is, in the context of the Braita, the water that we're talking over here, because it's listed together with blood and so on, I mean, it looks like we're talking about sewer water. Bishlama, this is how Tosfos understands it. So Bishlama in the Mishnah, where we were talking about water that was sink water, drain water. Drain water, we didn't have a problem. What are you going to do with drain water? You can use drain water for a lot of things. But what are you going to use sewerage water for? So shofchim, l'may chazu, what is that good for? Omer of Yirmiya, it's good l'gabel behemet hatit. You can use it for making concrete. So over there, there'd be no problem, and because of that would be the normal shear of a revit. What? It says beferish in a braita that the amount of concrete, or cement really, that you would need to be mechayev you on Shabbos in terms of the Isra of Lisha would be a tiny little bit. And that would be if you're taking out over, I mean, that's what we're assuming. So if you're taking out a little bit of cement, all that you would be mechayev in and taking out would be enough to put around a little tiny hole for the blower that you have that's pushing air into a furnace, the guy who's firing up clay. So you got a little blower, so you need to close it so that the air doesn't escape. I mean, what are we talking about over here? Like an ounce? What in the world would this... I don't need a revius to make that much. So why do I... If the amount of cement that I'm going to take out is just a thimbleful, so why is the water to make the cement an entire revius? Doesn't make sense to me. No, you don't understand. Look, Kasha, look, come on. I mean, you never had a problem where you needed to make a little bit of plaster to cover a hole in the wall? Okay, so you think you've got a little hole in the wall that you used to put in a picture. What you say is, okay, you know, I'm not making plaster for that one tiny over thing. I'll wait. If I got 10 holes, so then I mix up a bunch of plaster and I use it for all of my holes. So that's what we're talking about over here. Obviously, in the case where you already have plaster made, so then a significant amount of plaster would be just to cover that one tiny hole around the area to make it airtight. But you're not going to make plaster for that, are you? So hademigbel, hadelo migbel. Levisha ein adam toreach legabel tit la sot pikor. Nobody goes to the trouble of making a whole thing of cement just to be able to close that little bit of space. Sir Richard, you are on. Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Hamotzi Hevel. Okay, now you're taking out a rope. How much rope would it take? Kidei lasot ozen lekupa. Enough to make a handle that you can hold a basket with. But if you're taking out gemi, which is like reed, then it's much less. All you need is a little tiny bit to make a loop to put something on a nail sticking out of the wall. For enough or a kavara, that's like a small sifter, a sieve. Rip you down there. That's not what you use it for. Everybody knows what you use a piece of gummy for. You use it to take a measurement of your kid's foot to bring into the shoe store and to tell them this is the size shoe I need. Don't we all use it for that? So anyway, that's the shear according to Rebuta. Nice insight into life. Okay, how about paper, niyar? Kedei lechtov alav kesher mochsi. It's your chayev if it's big enough to write on it a receipt for a collector of meches, which is custom duty. So what they used to do is either a guy would get a tax, particular tax exemption, and then the tax exemption would be given to him by the melech or the governor or the tax authorities. And what they would do is it would have a code on it, a code of two large printed letters, and those were shown to the tax collector that was actually there in the entrance area. Of course, in those days, it wasn't to a country. It was if you used a bridge, you paid taxes or whatever. So it would be shown to that moches, and he would let you off, either because it was prepaid taxes or because you had an exemption. So that is too big enough to write two large letters on, which is the normal code that's used to get the guy off of that day's taxes. If you take an actual kesher mochsim, then you would be chayev also, which seems to be sort of obvious, but the point over here is that's true, says Tosfos, even if it was written on something that is a much bigger shear than niyar. So let's say it was written on cloth, which is not generally used for that. So it wants to tell you that the very fact that it is a kesher mochsin, even though it's on a piece that isn't big enough to be mechayev you for cloth or for or, that nonetheless, you would be chayev. Okay. How about if it's paper that was already used and erased, which is not good for writing on? So that's good for using as a cover for a bottle of perfume. Tiny little bit. How about a piece of skin or hide? Kedei la'asot kamiya, enough to make a little kamiya. We saw before, kamiya you can make either by writing small psukim from the Torah. You could put in different kind of herbs and things. So this is enough to wrap around that kamiya. How about klaf? Kedei lichtov alav parashak tana shebit tefilin shehishma Yisrael. So that's enough klaf. Klaf is very, very expensive stuff. Even today, you would never write a kesher shamochsim on it. So then the use of it would be to actually write something from the tefillin, something small. So that would be Shema Yisrael. Fine. How about dio? Kedei lichtov shtei otiyot. Dio is enough to write two letters. Two letters are for matching things up, like we saw in the Mishkan. Therefore, two is considered to be chashiv. You put a number one here and a number one there, a number two there, a number two, and so on, and you know exactly where to put things together. How about devek? Oh, sorry, how about kechol? Kechol is enough to take care of one eye. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, that's a little ridiculous. Who would only use kechol on one eye and look nutty with having eyeshadow on one eye and not on the other eye? Devek, how about glue? Put it on the top of a board. We don't know what the use is for that yet. The Gemara is going to ask. How about zefet, the gofrit? So if you have tar or you have sulfur, that is enough to put over a hole. Now, the thing is that, there's a girsa over here that has the word katan, which is a little bit of a problem, because the next one we have, the zefet, or the gofrit, is enough to make the hole, and the shava is kidei litein al pi nekev katan. That's to be put on something that has a small hole. So Rashi understands that the small hole that we're talking about, because his girsa was katan, is that it's talking about a mercury container. So it'd be something like a thermometer. And since mercury escapes very easily when you turn it, obviously the whole thing just rolls right out and there goes the mercury, as anyone who ever broke a mercury thermometer, well, maybe they don't have those things anymore, but they used to. So mercury escapes it's very frustrating when it escapes because it's almost impossible to collect it. So because of that, what they would do is they'd make an extremely small hole, so that they would be unable to get the mercury through it, just like we make thermometers with an extremely small place for the mercury to be forced up through it because of the rising temperatures, which is why it's so useful for a thermometer, because it is able to be in a very small little thing of glass. You could still take the temperature. So Rashi learns that's what it's talking about over here, something that's small. And then sha'ava would be enough to put onto a hole, which you would seal your wine with between sucking out the wine into a siphon between usages. So that way you keep the air out of it. Charsit, a charsit is crushed brick or clay. Kedei la'asot pikor shel tzorfei zahav. Same idea, except over here, the opening is for people who are dealing with gold, which of course is a much smaller kind of furnace. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's actually kedei la'asot pitput. It's enough for you to repair a tripod that you hold the blower on. How about sumin, which is just bran? That was used, if you don't have the right kind of fuel, you use that, a gold refiner will use subin to create the heat for the fuel. How about sid? Sid is good for lasut ktana shebebanot. We'll see what that means. Enough to put on the smallest of little girls. And Gemara is going to talk about what that would mean. It would be an aver katan. And they use that as a depilatory. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei la'asot kilkul, enough for you to be able to get the hair on the side of the head, on the temples, to lie down straight along the face. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, kedei la'asot undipi, it's good for smearing on a forehead, which, again, the Gemara is going to ask what that is. Ask the Gemara, why did we give two different shiurim for the rope or for the reeds? I mean, the rope, you could also have a small shear to make a loop. Why does it have to be big enough to put your hand through? So it could last a lot of lakavara, because people don't like to use it for that. A rope is rough. And because of that, its coarseness will rub out whatever you're hanging it. You don't want to hang from it. So lo av the end is you want to use it for something that is softer, like reed. Turn her up on it. How about hutzin? Hutzin, we've had a number of times. Those are the palm that the lulav that's open. Kedei la'asot ozen l'sal kvifa mitzrit. If it takes out a basket, a kvifa mitzrit is a basket that's made out of the actual bark of the palm, and because of that, you would use a piece of a palm, branch, to make the handle, because it matches. Sieve. How about the sieve, which is the bast that grows around, it's like a material that grows around the bottom of the palm tree. Anybody who's walked by a palm tree has noticed it's amazing. It looks exactly as if it was woven by someone. It grows around it. So what do you use that for? Even if you take out a tiny bit, you know why? Because it is an excellent filter. And actually, it's made as if it's woven as a tiny filter. So if you put that on the edge of a tiny funnel, which is a little bit, just big enough, l'sanena tayayin, it actually does a great job at straining wine. How about something that's greasy, revav, kedei l'asuch tachat ispagim ktana, to put underneath a small cake in your oven? And what's the shear of a small cake? Kamish yura, as the size of a sela of coin. Doesn't it say in another brisa that the shear of the cake that you're going to use this grease for is the size of a grogeret? A grogeret is the size of a sela. When you're talking about something greasy. How about if you take out mochin, the little bits of material, kedei la'asot kadur ktana, that's making a small ball, not that ball we were talking about for baseball before, kama shiro, that of course was in Kalim. We're just putting the two together. So what's the shear of the ball we're talking about over here? The size of a nut. Okay, next thing we had. How about a piece of paper to write on it? The shear was to write the two letters, large letters, they're big letters, of the tax guy, the Kesher Mochsin, Tana. Kama Kesher Mochsin, Shtei Otiyot. So that would be large two letters, and it would be the size of the way they're usually written. We have that Girsa Bichtav Yevani, which is larger than the way that people would write in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara asks, but it says, V'raminu amotzi niyar chalak, if you've got blank paper, imyesh bo kedei lichtov shtei otiyot chayav v'im lav patur. It doesn't say anything about Greek over here, about Kesher Mochsin. So how come you said it's only if you got two of these big Greek letters that were used for the code of the Moches, and here it says stam, any letters. Amrif Sheish says, when it says two letters, it must mean two letters of Kesher Mochsin, like we said before. Rava Amar, that's a cheap kind of answer. I mean, yeah, you could always say that. But what I would say is like this. If you're talking about regular letters, Shtei Otiyot Idan, our normal Hebrew letters, then the amount that you would have to take out in order to be able to have a, come on, Alon, please. Then the amount that you'd have to be able to take out would be the amount that you could hold the margin while you write the letter. So that would require, we'd have to take it out together with the Beit Achizah. So two normal letters together with a Beit Achizah, that would be the same size as the Kesher Mochsin, which either because it's stamped possibly and therefore doesn't require anything, or perhaps it's cut afterwards, but you don't need to hold it. That's the way Tosus understands it. Rashi understands that it has to do with holding the margin in order to read it, because you don't put your fingers over the letters and smudge it, whereas the Kesher Mochsin is not held to read. It's just held as a ticket in your hands. You just open it up, and it goes all the way to the margin. Okay, two possibilities. Ask the Gemara, how can you say that, Rava? It says, Beferish in the Braisa, Hamotzi Niyar Machuk, if you're taking out erased paper or a shtar that had already been paid up, shtar poruat, so you can't use it for writing on. So if there's enough of a margin, and yesh be lo venchelo, kedei lichtov shtei otiot, if you have enough room over there to be able to write two otiot on it, or if it's big enough to use, even if there isn't, but it's big enough to use as a perfume, because you've got other writing on it that's useless, but at least you can use it to cover over your pitzluchit of plait on a little perfume bottle, then you would be chayv. But if not, then you would be potter. Now, how do you explain that? According to Rav Sheshes, who said that shtei otiot meant shtei otiot in Greek, so fine. Then it, everything works out fine, because that's what we're talking about. But according to Rava, Rava said, where it says two otiot, it means our kinds of otiot. But you've got tons of space over here that you've got all this other stuff written on, which is useless, the old contract. And you could certainly put your fingers on that to hold it or to write with it. So why would this wouldn't be the right amount to shear? Because according to Rava, the point was that we needed to include in the paper the space on the margin that you can hold it. But that's not necessary in this case at all. Because in this case, Hocha Beit Achizah Lo Tzarich, you don't need to hold it. Whew, that is a problem. Kasha. Okay. It's a problem for Rava. Tana Rabbanan. And then we said in the Braisa, if you actually take out a Kesher Mochsin, so then if it still is usable to show it to the Moches, so you're bringing it from the government house, wherever you got it, and you're bringing it to the guy, the local guy, it's going to be on the bridge or wherever, so then you're chayef, because it's usable. But once it was already shown to the Moches, and now you forgot to take it out of your pocket, at this point you're putter, because it's useless, and therefore doesn't have a shira votsa. Rabbi Yehuda says, even after you showed it to the tax collector, you're still going to be chayev because you still need it. Why do you still need it? Rabbi, you still need it because, you know what, you always have these guys that are running around trying to turn people in that they didn't pay the tax, and because of that, they would get a kickback from the tax collector if they're able to actually find somebody who didn't pay the tax. So instead of being hassled by these guys, who are like deputies, you know, and that's how they make their money, by giving out traffic tickets or Moches tickets. Those guys are the worst. So because of that, you want to be able to hold it to be able to show it to them. And therefore, Itainas, so you're going to have to keep it around anyway, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you'll keep it around. The Tana Kama says, forget it. The guy's anyway going to drag you back to try to turn you in. So you're going to have to present yourself again to the same person you already showed it to. Rav Amar, Moches Gadol, Moches Katani, Kibinayo. Look, it's very simple. Very often you've got the guy that's in charge, and then you've got a little guy that, you know, he's home watching a movie, you know, so he has the guy to take his place. You are an important fellow who's carrying a letter from the governor or whatever, and you just tell the guy, drop dead. I'm not talking to somebody like you. You know, when there's somebody important around, I'll show it to him. So over there, the problem would be that if the guy doesn't want to stand there and he gives some smaller bureaucrat, then later on you're going to need it possibly in order to be able to show him when he does come back. Rav Ashi says, the difference is, even if none of this is a problem, you know why? Used letters of credit. Used letters that show you to have gotten an exemption are very important. Even if you're not going to be able to use them anymore and they don't have any validity, you always like to open your wallet and show that they're in there so that the next guy takes you seriously and you're able to tell him, Chazi, you see, I'm a guy who always pays my taxes. I got everything in order. So if you got an old tax return, it also is very useful when you're going in to talk to the tax authorities about a particular year and you walk in with 50 years of tax returns, it's still useful, even though they're not talking about that particular year. Tana Rabbana. Hamotzi shtar chov, somebody who takes out a loan, a documented loan. So if the borrower didn't pay it up yet, so then we'll see what we're talking about over here, who exactly is the one that's going to be chayev. So then he's chayev for taking it out, because then obviously he's going to be able to use it. But once it was paid up already, so then he's putter. Because what are you going to do with a used written piece of paper? It doesn't have room on it to write more, and you can't use it for any illegal purpose. Reb Yehuda says, no, even if it was already paid up, you still are going to be chayev if you take it out, because you still have some need of it. So what's the pshat? Might be nice. Omer of Yosef, I'll tell you how I understand. The machlokas over here is whether you are allowed, bichlal, if you are a lender, are you allowed to keep a IOU that was signed by this guy in your rishus if the guy had already paid it up? That's the question. So the Tanakhama holds that it's usur for you to even have that, okay? So therefore, if you take it out on Shabbos, it certainly has no value at all. It's completely worthless. You should have thrown it out. You can't even use it to cover a bottle of perfume. So because of that, it is not a useful piece of paper for you. And because of that, you would be potter. Masha Inkin, Rabbi Yehuda holds you are allowed to keep something and put it on your perfume bottle, even though it had been paid up. So because of that, it would mean that you're not mechuyev to give it back to the borrower, and therefore, if you take it out on Shabbos, you would be chayev if you were the lender. Abaya Omar? No. Everybody holds you're not allowed to have something that was paid up, because what if you go out and collect it again, or forget about it, or die for that matter? So the question over here is, if a borrower admits that this is my signature and I wrote this IOU, the question is whether, if he then claims that he paid it up, can you still use this contract to collect? That's the issue. So you can't, if you say that, well, that's a forgery. Okay, so then the guy has to go out, and he has to go and be mekayim it with the edim in order to show that it was a good shtar. But if you admit that this is the shtar, then it's the equivalent of being mekuyam. So then the moment that he says that, and now he's tying, yes, it's true, but I already paid it. Then there's a machlokus, whether we say apesha asar or apesha yitir, and therefore, he does not have to pay, because he says, look, I'm the guy who told you that it's a good contract. And therefore, if I'm telling you it was paid up, so then you're not going to be able to collect with it. So therefore, we're talking about over here, the borrower, if the borrower admits that he wrote it, so then it's, if he says, I didn't pay it, so then fine, then it's a good shtar. But if he said, I paid it, so if you want to use it, you're going to have to bring a raya that it's a good shtar and so on, which means that it's useless right now. Whereas Yehuda Sofar, Mode b'shtar shekatavo, ain't tzarich l'kaimo, that even if that's the case, and you were Mode, then the guy can still collect with it. And even though the guy admits, he's saying, but I'm the guy that admitted it, so the Tanakhama is saying, if the guy was the one who says that he wrote it, and then he says, but I already paid it. So then if the the lender can't collect, right? He's got to be able to go and be mekayem it. Masha'en ken, if you hold that it was already, like the Mandi Omar that says, Elibud Rabbi Yehuda, that it could still be collected, so then what does the Braisa mean? My ad shalo paro umisha paro. The way Rabbi Yehuda is learning, what is the difference between the Lashon when he paid it or he didn't pay it? It doesn't mean paid or not paid. It means if he said he paid it, Achi yomar love, quote, parati, or lo parati. So that's the point over here. So according to Abaya, the case where we said over here that if he didn't pay it yet, it doesn't mean if he didn't pay it yet. It means if there is a claim, that not that he actually didn't pay it. He didn't say, I didn't claim that I repaid it. So if I didn't claim that I repaid it, so then if you're the lender, you would be mechuyev because it's still usable. If he didn't say he paid it, you could still collect with it, even though he was the guy that was mekayem it, so to speak, by being meida on it. Mashenka, in the other case in the Braita that says once he paid it, does not mean, Elibud Rabbi Yehuda here. That's what Rabbi Zarin. It does not mean that he actually had paid it. It means that where he claimed that he repaid it. That's what it's talking about. So even so, he claimed he repaid it. Elibud Rabbi Yehuda, it's still usable. And therefore, if the lender takes it out, he would still be chayev.